Please open your Bible to Philippians chapter 3. And while we're opening the scriptures, I might suggest that some of the ushers open a few windows for us. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to begin reading at verse 16, reading the verses that held our attention last week, and then the one verse that will hold our attention this week, verse 19. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16. Only let us walk according to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you, or who walk according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's that 20th verse that will hold our attention this morning. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest preachers that the Christian church has ever enjoyed was called the man with the golden mouth. He was John Chrysostom of Antioch. Near the end of his life, in the early 400s, he was banished from the city of Constantinople, where he was a bishop and a preacher of the gospel. He was banished from the city because he dared publicly to preach against some of the vice of the city. And it was arranged for him to be exiled in a remote desert. He was nearly 60 years of age, and he wrote to a friend on that occasion these words: "You now begin to lament my banishment, but I have done so for a long time. For since I knew that heaven was my country, I have esteemed the whole earth as a place of exile. Constantinople, from which I am expelled, is as distant from paradise as the desert to which they now send me." And those words of John Chrysostom embody the spirit of the text that we're looking at this morning in Philippians 3 and verse 20. In this passage, Paul has described some who claim that they are Christians, but in fact they are enemies of the cross of Christ. A terrible name to place upon them. Enemies of the cross of Christ. Enemies not because of what they teach, but how they live. Their walk makes them enemies of the cross of Christ. But verse 20 shows us that there are some people who are friends of the cross of Christ. There are genuine Christians, in spite of the fact that many who claim to be Christian are really enemies of the cross of Christ. One of the leading features of the enemies of the cross of Christ is the one that is mentioned last, in verse 19, their mind is on earthly things. Their mind is riveted to the things of this present world. They love the things of the existing order of this earth. Their desires run out to the earthly system as we have it in the world all around us. They cannot lift their minds above the material and the temporal and the earthly things. They are enemies of the cross of Christ because of their whole thinking pattern, is what the apostle has said. But verse 20 tells us that we, who are friends of the cross of Christ, are not so. We are not fixed with our thinking upon earthly things. Our thoughts are not filled with the things of the present, the immediate, the here and now, entirely. But we have a different mindset, a radically different way of thinking. Now, here is a place to examine your heart as to what your thought patterns are. It is a description of the difference between an enemy of the cross of Christ and a friend of the cross of Christ. Both the enemies of the cross of Christ and the friends of the cross of Christ claim to be Christians. They claim to believe in Jesus Christ. But their thought patterns are diametrically opposed to one another. Is your mind controlled and drawn constantly to and filled only with earthly things? Or is your mind drawn to heavenly things, as verse 20 suggests? Our citizenship is in heaven. The mindset of this description is that his citizenship is in heaven, not on the earth that we are walking through. Now, Americans of all people ought to understand what the Apostle Paul is saying. For we see immigrants in America all of the time. We see people who move to America, sometimes from Latin America, sometimes from the Orient, sometimes from Africa, sometimes from Europe. And they do live out the rest of their days here in the United States. But often the first generation of people who move into our midst from another culture obviously do not fit in with this society in which we live. They do not conform. They do not really think very much or very highly of American ways. And it's shown in many patterns. They often prefer to speak the language of the old country. They prefer it. Now, their children in the second generation want to speak English, but they themselves don't really have much time for English sometimes. They observe the customs of the old country. They dress like the old country. They eat the foods of the old country from which they come. They even sometimes retain citizenship in the old country. They do not bother to be naturalized, to become citizens of the United States, even though they live here in the midst of this people. Their hearts turn constantly to relatives that are back home, far away, that they do not see. America never really becomes their home. They are aliens. They are strangers. That's obvious to us when we see them. Their mindset, their thinking is always turned to another place. They may go to the same office that we go to. They may go to the same restaurant that we go to. They may play in the same places that we do. But it is very obvious to us that their way of thinking and their whole way of acting is very different from our own. They are aliens and they are strangers. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:11, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires." The Christian is an alien in this world. His mind is not on earthly things, but his citizenship is in heaven. And it is because of his thought patterns that the Christian is able to make progress in sanctification. You cannot be sanctified if your outlook is bound to this world system in which we are living. You can only be transformed by the renewing of your mind when you begin to think of yourself constantly as a citizen of heaven, of another world, of a higher world, of another social order entirely, and one that suits you better and one that you love much more. And there can be no dual citizenship for the sons of God. If you have entered the kingdom of God, you have entered the kingdom of God by a heavenly birth. Unless a man is born from above, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Strangers and pilgrims, we are traveling through foreign territory to a heavenly home. All of our interests are promoted in heaven. They are never promoted by the earthly system in which we live. Our thoughts and prayers constantly turn to heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Our hopes and our aspirations are in a heavenly world where the Father is, where also are the souls of just men who have been made perfect. Our inheritance is there. Remember what Peter said? That you have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away. It is reserved in heaven for you. And if your inheritance is in heaven, then your mind will run to heaven. For where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. Jesus said that, didn't he? If your treasure is here on the earth, your mind will be on the earth. If your treasure is in heaven, your mind will constantly turn there. Doesn't your mind constantly turn to where your investments are? Where your treasures are? Where is your chief treasure? The Christian has a treasure in heaven. And so his mind constantly turns there. Our citizenship is in heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue, says the spiritual. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Our citizenship is in heaven. Now, if you worship your belly, you remember that description of those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. If you so live to satisfy your physical appetites that you have deified your belly and you are an idolater bowing down to your belly, then your mind will constantly be on earthly things. But if Jesus Christ is your Savior, verse 20, and He is coming from heaven to save you out of this present evil world, and you judge the present world to be evil and harmful to you, and He is a Savior who is going to come to save you, then your mind will turn toward the heavens, and that's where you belong. And that's where your citizenship is. Do you recall Paul's great description of the Christian in 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10? You turn to God from idols. One of them was the idol of the belly, worshiping the belly, the appetites. You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for the Lord Jesus from heaven. And the Christian life is a life that is marked by waiting for the Savior to come from heaven. And waiting contains the idea of looking for Him and expecting Him and anticipating Him and longing for Him. We eagerly await the Savior from heaven, our text says. The Lord Jesus Christ. We eagerly await Him to come from heaven. We look toward the heaven for someone to save us from the conditions of the earth. We are victimized by this world. We do not fit in this world. We are not at home in this world. We are not happy in this world. We look for a Savior from heaven, eagerly awaiting for Him. Now, there are many women who have sent their husbands and their sons off to war, and they have eagerly awaited for them to come home. They have been interested in every piece of news that has come from where their husbands are fighting. And they have looked in the direction from which they will come and return. It's interesting in the Old Testament when Deborah defeated Sisera, the enemy of the Jews, that she even put this whole idea, being a woman herself, into the Song of Victory. She sang about Sisera's mother. And she imagined that Sisera's mother was sitting at home and watching through the window and eagerly looking for her son to return home. And because he took so long, and she said, why is he so long in returning? The other ladies said to her, well, it's because they're dividing the spoil. But of course, Deborah knew, and the Jewish people knew that he had been destroyed. But that idea of eagerly awaiting and looking for the one who has gone to another realm, who has gone to fight some battles. The Christian eagerly awaits the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Psalm 45 pictures the church as the young woman who is standing in her house and looking out the window as the King comes to take her to Himself The king is coming to take his bride, and she is looking out the window, and she is describing the beauty, the honor, the glory of the Savior who is coming. We eagerly await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this passage of Philippians, you remember, is dealing with the issue of sanctification, the importance of sanctification. Those who have no interest in sanctification, though they call themselves Christians, are enemies of the cross of Christ. And those who are progressing in righteousness are friends of the cross of Christ. But how do I become more pure? How do I progress? How do I become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, Paul has already told us back in verses 13 and 14, where he has used the image of the runner. And he says you have to keep your eye on the goal. You can't run by turning your head the other way. You can't run toward the goal. You'll lose direction. Sanctification means concentrating on the goal, where you want to go. And if your mind is filled with earthly things, pleasures, possessions, careers, all the rest of the things of the here and now, and that's all that fills your mind, you're looking the other direction. And you can't make progress in sanctification. But those who are thinking every day, I do not belong to this world, I belong to a heavenly realm, to a future world, to another world, to a higher world, and I am eagerly awaiting for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, their eyes are on the goal. And only with that thought pattern can there be progress in righteousness, according to our text. John says that those who have within them the hope of the return of Jesus Christ purify themselves. Those who have the hope, those who are looking, those who are waiting, those who are thinking about the coming again of Jesus Christ purify themselves. And you cannot make progress in righteousness if your mindset is to be fixed upon earthly things. The great battle is at the level of the mind, where a man's treasure is. There his heart will be. Where is your treasure? What is your hope? In what do you glory? What is your God? Where are your thoughts? They will tell you very soon who your God is and what your hope is. When Abraham was called by God, he was called to leave Ur of the Chaldees, the city in which he was born, the city in which he was brought up. When you were called into union with Jesus Christ, you were called to leave this present world and to go to another world. Of course, our children know the story of Pilgrim's Progress very well. A pilgrim is someone who is on a journey through strange territory, and he is looking to go to the land where he belongs. But he is traveling through strange territory. And when Abraham went out of Ur, he never went back again. He never turned back again. In our scripture reading in Hebrews 11, we are reminded that if he had wanted to go back, he could have. If his heart had been toward the world, he could have gone back to Ur at any time. But when he left Ur of the Chaldees and became a stranger to the city where he was born, he became a constant wanderer until the day of his death. He was a stranger in Palestine. He was a nomad there. He lived in tents. He was always taking the tent down and moving to some other place. He didn't fit in anywhere. He didn't fit in Palestine. One day the land of Palestine was going to belong to him, but he didn't fit there. He didn't belong there. He was a stranger to there. His mind was on a city and a nation and a territory that God would give him, but it wasn't the one that he had. And one day the new heaven and the new earth will belong to the Christian. But we don't belong to the earth as it exists now. The meek will inherit the earth, but not till Jesus Christ comes again. They do not inherit the earth in the here and the now. Verse 20 does tell us our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he is now. And the whole earth is a place of exile, and every part of the earth is as far from paradise as a desert or a prison is.
Christ's business in heaven is to prepare a place for us, and our business on earth is to prepare ourselves for the place that He is going to give us. Where is the mind of the bride who is preparing for her wedding day? It's on her new home, her new house, with her new husband. And the church is a virgin expecting to enter into the joy of her Lord. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, said Jesus. I will come again, and I will receive you to myself. David prayed, 1 Chronicles 29:15. We are strangers and sojourners as were all our fathers. He was the king in Jerusalem, but he didn't feel that way. He was in charge of a mighty army, but he didn't feel mighty. We are strangers and sojourners as were all our fathers, said David in his prayer. It is a serious error. It is a serious deflection from Bible truth for anyone to teach that the Christian focus of hope and the Christian focus of energy and attention is something in this present world. That is a serious error. And when TV evangelists turn the gospel into giving people hope for wealth and health and success in the present world, they have twisted the gospel beyond recognition. And when a theologian rivets attention and energy on how to pray, change our present society or our government, and to impress us with the culture that Christians can build in the here and now, they have twisted the gospel. It is a heavenly-minded gospel. It is otherworldly. It is not focused on the here and now. Those whose minds are on earthly things, even if those earthly things are culture and government and movements of various kinds, if that is where they are focused, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. And never will the Christian be triumphant and comfortable on earth until Jesus Christ comes again. Well, do you comprehend the implications of this teaching in verse 20, that the friends of the cross of Christ have a citizenship in heaven, and we are eagerly waiting for a Savior to come from there and transform this earth and transform us, and to have a whole new heaven and new earth in which we can dwell? That's our only hope. That's our ultimate hope. Well, there's some people who are not Christians. Do you like to think about things like this? You are, some of you, a citizen of this present world. The world just as you find it. You belong to it. You are comfortable there. You are like somebody sitting by the fireside who has put his feet up, and he is very comfortable with the present world. It's just the way you want it. You fit in with the age, don't you? The civilization that we have in the United States of America, you love it just the way it is. These times, these customs that we live in Carlisle in the 1990s, you are with it. You are cool. You fit in. You are home. You found your niche. You are an heir of this life. But you know, Jesus said a very interesting thing about those who are earthly minded. And he said, verily they have their reward. They already have it. They already have the best that they're ever going to get. You've got it now. You are the now generation. You have lived for the here and now. And you have it all now, all that you ever get. It's never going to get any better than this. And it really isn't. It'll never get any better than it is now. And you have only a few years to enjoy it. Because this world is going to be dissolved. This world is going to disappear. It's going to be torn down in judgment. It's going to be burned up, we read in Peter's second epistle. But this is your world, and this is where you belong, and this is where you fit in. So enjoy it. What do you have? 70 years, 80 years, and then comes death. But enjoy it, because it's all that you're ever going to get. Your reward, you have it now. This is your portion. This present world, it is your portion. It is your inheritance. It's all that you have. And then it's going to be taken away. And you can't keep it. It's marked for destruction. Well, hold on to it tight. Because there's no other treasure for you than this. There are no other joys than this. There are no other companions than the ones you have here. There is no other satisfaction than what you're getting now. It doesn't get any better than this, the advertisements say. Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible? It doesn't get any better than this. It never will get any better than this. You are citizens of a present world. And it is soon going to pass away. It's going to be burned up. And it doesn't get any better than this. You are like a homeless man in the city who is looking for some lodging for the night and wanders into a building. And he finds a spacious building all empty. And he takes up residence there, and he's going to live there. And he's very comfortable there for the night. And he pats himself on the back at what he has found and how wonderful it is. Only the building has been dynamited. You've seen these scenes where they push the plunger and the whole building collapses inward. It's all going to explode. It's all going to go up in smoke. They mind earthly things, their hearts, their thoughts, their attention, their life is wrapped up in earthly things. But it's all going to be destroyed. Can't people wake up? You live in a world posted for destruction. John Bunyan described Vanity Fair, the marketplace, the fair, the holiday center where Christian had to pass through. And there were booths for everything that people could want. If people who were into music, there was a song booth. People who loved jewelry and wealthy things, there was a silver booth. People who were into sex, well, that was peddled there too. There was an alcohol booth. There was a land booth. There was a sports booth. There was a family booth. Everything that people can enjoy in the present world, there were all these booths. And all of the hucksters were calling to the people to come and to take their things and to enjoy their things. But there was a warning written over all of the booths. All these things shall be dissolved. All these things shall be dissolved. To put your whole life in the things that now are, that's not the life of the Christian. That is not Christianity. It does not fit with Christianity. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. And when He comes, He will dissolve this whole earth and its whole system, and He will destroy and burn up the heavens and the earth as they are now, but He will bring us salvation and blessing and eternal life. Christians are ridiculed because they look out of place in this world, and they do. They dress differently sometimes. They speak differently sometimes. They have a different language. They're never quite with it in the earth. They're always out of step, don't quite belong. The cost of following the Lord Jesus Christ. But they are fleeing from the wrath to come. And they are going out of the city of destruction. And they have heard Jesus Christ say, "Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife." She turned around and looked back. Why did she look back? Because her mind was upon earthly things. Her heart was caught up with earthly things, with the present society in Sodom. And she looked back because she longed for there. And she didn't run out of the city with her eyes looking for salvation and looking for a new world into which she could go, but she really looked back to the earth. And she perished. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish. But they must look to me, and I am in heaven. I'm not on the earth, I'm in heaven. And when I come again, this earth will be dissolved." And you can't hold on to the earth and hold on to heaven, even with your mind. When you walk out of the church and survey Carlisle, your home, your job, your friends, your family, your car, the golf course, is that all there is for you? Or do you look for Christ to come from heaven and for a new heaven and a new earth? Christian, do you remember what Christianity is all about? I think some people slacken their pace. I think some people originally set out to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but they have forgotten that He is in heaven and not upon the earth. And they're not going as fast as once they did on their pilgrimage. I think some look back even as Lot's wife did. And if you do not soon look heavenward again, you may perish as she did. Are you a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth? Are you really? Is your speech different? Do you talk wherever you go of things that are heavenly and things that are biblical? Is your dress different? Do you have different customs? Do you eat different food? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Do you have a different Lord? You do not worship your belly and your appetites, but you worship the Lord Jesus Christ who is coming from heaven. Well, the apostle is talking about a mindset, isn't he? A mindset. An orientation. An outlook. A way of thinking. With one group, everything is important is of the present world. With another group, the most important things are in heaven, where Jesus Christ is and from which He is coming to save us. And this present world and the present society will never suit us because it contains all of that from which we need to be saved. What's your mindset? What is your mindset? Have you ever fled for mercy to Jesus Christ? Have you ever fled from the wrath to come? Have you ever turned your back on a city of destruction, a city that is sure to be destroyed, and filled your mind with heavenly things and with hope in Jesus Christ? That's what Christianity is all about. Are you a friend of the cross of Christ, or are you an enemy of the cross of Christ? Both profess to be Christians. Paul searches your heart. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that even to speak to You, we must lift up our hearts to the heavens, for that's where You are. And we can only do that with the help of Your Holy Spirit and through the instruction of the Scriptures. You are at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from there You are going to come to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. And You are going to assign everyone his eternal destiny. Oh, how many things call us back to the earth, call our minds back to the earth. We pray, Lord Jesus, as we look heavenward in this moment, that You would keep our eyes focused and our minds focused upon You and upon Your heavenly kingdom, that we may not be citizens of the earth, but citizens of heaven. And then, Lord, may we grow more and more like Yourself in purity and righteousness and produce the fruits of those who are living in another kingdom. Oh, bless us by Your grace today, we pray in Your holy name. Amen.